Have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would. Turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke, 17th chapter. St. Luke, chapter number 17. It's probably a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord showed us something a little bit different in this morning as we were praying, seeking His leadership for this hour of service. And we'll do our best with God's help this morning to show you what the Lord has shown us. A lot of people in the church today, they always say, well, if we leave the church, and they say, well, preacher, you got all over my toes today. And I know what you're saying, but if I got your toes and missed your heart, I'm not doing my job. And I tell you this morning, I want to do all that we can while we can't, because we know that we have but the Scripture tells us we have but a few days, and all this is coming to an end. I hope you're saved this morning. I hope you can smile. Everybody look at me this morning. Smile, say amen. I'm glad you're awake. All right. We're in the Lord's house. This is a good time. You know, there's going to be a lot of, the old joke is that the Baptists will be the first ones in heaven because the dead shall rise first. Amen. You can laugh. It's okay. We need to enjoy our salvation. Amen. God's given us the best thing this side of eternal glory. We need to enjoy what God has given us, for He's been good to us. And I hope that you can leave this the Lord's house this morning knowing that you're saved by the grace of God. If you're here under the sound of our voice this morning, you don't know Christ and the free pardon of sin. I hope by the close of this day, the close of this service, when you leave this place, that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been born again, saved by the wonderful, marvelous grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in the Gospel according to St. Luke, in chapter number 17, beginning reading in verse number 11, the Scripture reads, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And we believe that'd be all the Lord to have us to read in your hearing this morning. We pray that God would richly bless the reading of His Word. If we had a thought or a text this morning, we will look at the last question asked in verse number 17. And the Bible says, but where are the 9? And the thought that the Lord had on our heart this morning is the unthankfulness that so many show to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Thanksgiving's already passed and you're a day late and a dollar short, and I understand that, but I really feel this is needful for the hour this morning, because I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, God being our helper, about the difference between being healed and being made whole, because there is a difference, and the Scripture speaks to us about being healed and being made whole. And as we look right here, the Bible, it uses very familiar reference. If you go back over to the Gospel according to St. John, you'll see that Jesus used this same verbiage almost, as he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And of course, he was talking about going to the well where he met with the woman down down there, and here we see that the Bible says in verse 11, it came to pass, and he went through Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And if you understand from the Scripture, if you go back and you study the Old Testament, the disease of leprosy is often referred to in the Word of God, and it's a type and shadow and symbol of sin. Amen. Leprosy, it was a constant judgment which God sent on His people. And listen, you can go back and read, and I encourage you to this afternoon, go home and read Leviticus 13 and 14 that tells the cleansing of the lepers and how the priest dictated whether they were clean or unclean, and all the significance that lies in this. But basically, just to kind of recap this thing right here, the reason that these 10 lepers, that they stood afar off when Jesus came, when you were a leper in this day and time, and you were presented before the priest, and the priest would examine you and examine your flesh, and he would examine the sores and the boils which were contained on your body. They would shut you up for 7 days. The priest would re-examine you, and if the leprosy had spread, then more or less he would declare you unclean, and he would declare it before all the people that thou art unclean, unclean, unclean. And he would make it a proclamation amongst all the people of Israel, where there was designation set upon these individuals, and they were separated from the camp of Israel, from the host of God, from everything that was contained therein. They had no dealings with the Israelites. It didn't matter whether you was a Jew. It didn't matter whether you were a Gentile. It didn't matter what circumstance, what heritage, what religion. Listen, what you were had no bearing or no relevance on whether or not you were a leper. If you were a leper, you were considered unclean, and you were exiled from whatever affiliation you had. And friends, today, listen, I want to outline this. Friends, listen, if we look at the symbolism of leprosy as sin, then friends, today we can read, we studied in Sunday school this morning, you can read all throughout the Word of God. And I'll use this text for example, and we did study in Sunday school in Romans 1 and 16, for the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But as we read and we read and we read, the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of person. The Bible tells us that there's no division, there's no separation between Jew, between Gentile. Romans 2 and 28, the Bible said, for he is not a Jew, which is one inwardly, neither is that circumcision inward in the flesh of the heart of the letter. But he said that circumcision, in the flesh, but he said that circumcision is in the heart and not of the letter. Amen. So God has made a distinction amongst his people. Amen. Listen today, I'm glad that I know that I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that I have a blessed assurance that I will not die in my sin nor in my leprosy. So many people today, listen, I want you to understand, friends, if you have, the Bible said in Romans chapter number 7, he said, I once was alive without the law, sin, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Amen. Listen, friends, if we realize our sinful state and we realize that we're sinful before God, listen, I want you to take into consideration what matters. Nothing. Amen. Listen to me. If you realize that you are a sinner, nothing matters. It does not matter your lineage. It does not matter your heritage. It does not matter where you come from. Most of all, it does not matter where you're headed. Amen. Friends, listen to me. I don't care how many offices in the church that you've held. Listen, that is of no significance to me, nor of the Word of God. If you are a sinner and never been saved, washed, reborn into the family of God, God. Listen, Titus 3 and 5, he said, not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, renewing, and regenerating of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So friends, today, listen, if you're separated from the fold of God, listen, what you are or who you are has no significance. Amen. If you're a sinner before the eyes of God, friends, listen to me. As the little children sing the song, yellow, red, black, or white, they are all precious in his sight. Amen. Well, friends, listen to me. I'm glad today that as we lay the foundation of the gospel of God, it does not matter who you are or what you are. If you are a sinner, you need to get saved. Amen. There is no biblical significance as we look out. And we as people, we try to divide people culturally. And say we try to divide people in society. And we try to divide people by how much money they have and social economic classes. And listen, we divide people by whether they're Republican or whether they're Democrat. Listen to me. It does not matter in the realm of eternity. What matters is if you've been born again or not. There is no significance in things. So listen, the Bible says, and as he entered into a certain village, there he met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now listen to me this morning. I don't want you to lose me. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So these 10 men, listen, and we understand through the reading of the scripture right here, 9 of these men were Jews. One of them was a Samaritan. And if you don't know the importance and the significance of a Samaritan, a Samaritan was a person that had intermingled with the pagan, lineages. And in doing so, they had tainted the bloodline of the Jews. And therefore, the Jews they had a hatred for the Samaritans. They couldn't stand them. They considered them as dogs, same as Gentiles. But listen, you see the commonality under sin. They all abided together because in sin, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. So listen, and the Bible says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now listen, this is very, very important. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I want you to pay close significance right here to what Jesus said, because only one man really understood what he said. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, listen, the Bible says in Romans 9 and 24, it says, nor yet that he should suffer or offer himself often as the high priest entereth every year with blood of others to make sacrifice for the people for the sins of the people. But he said, now once hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Nor yet that he should suffer often. Amen. So the Bible says, for we have a great high priest. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter, the Bible says in the 12th verse, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. There's nothing hidden, listen, before a true, holy, and almighty God. Amen. Listen, it says, the Bible says, for we have a great high priest, eternal in the heavens. Amen. We understand that this high priest today is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to a physical priest. We don't have to go to a physical man, an individual, to seek salvation, to seek repentance, or to seek forgiveness. We must go to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible said, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed.
And now this is what I want to talk to you about for just a minute. Friends, listen, there's a difference between being cleansed and made whole. And the Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, verse 15, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Listen, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Friends, listen to me. Where are the 9? Listen, let me tell you. Listen, the Lord proves in the scripture right here that he will heal 10 to save 1. Amen. I'm telling you, friends, if there's ever been an investment that's ever been made that made the least amount of sense, it was the plan of salvation. Amen. Because they are few. The Bible tells us that broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal and to life everlasting. We understand. Listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, that hell enlargeth its borders daily. Listen, I believe this. Listen, with the authority of the Word of God, there's never been a human soul created in the history of time that was ever intended to live in hell. Never has there been a soul created that hell was its chosen destiny, nor its the place of abode. Amen. Listen to me. Listen, we can get into theology and the Calvinism and the 5 points that are contained therein and predestination. We can cover a lot of ground this morning. But what I'm here to tell you, friends, listen, is this. God, listen, the Bible tells us in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it said, for God hath predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. Listen, moreover, being conformed to the image of his Son, it says that we might be glorified, that we might be justified, that we might be sanctified. Friends, listen, if we're going to be conformed to the image of one thing, we're going to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has set us aside for one reason, not to go to hell, but to go to heaven. Amen. If you're created under the sound of my voice today, God wants to see you in heaven. Amen. Don't tell me that he ever intended anybody to go to hell, because it's a lie, and it's a lie of the devil. Friends, listen to me this morning. The purpose, listen, the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter number 3, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen. So let me tell you what the will of God is. The will of God is for you to be saved. But so many people, of their own obligation, of their own choice, choose their eternal abode in a place called hell. Friends, let me tell you something. The Lord will never send anybody to hell, but you'll send yourself by your own conscious choice and decision. You hear me? The Lord will never send you to that place called hell. You'll go of your own accord. It'll be of your own choice, of your own free will. God help today those who would choose hell over heaven. Because it's a choice. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Now listen to this significance. Turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And as he was a Samaritan, and Jesus answering said, where are the 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? Then they that are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Friends, listen to me this morning. There is a great significance in being healed and being made whole. Let me tell you something. Those that are healed have the possibility that they might still go to hell. And you say, preacher, I can't believe you just said that. Well, I just did. Amen. Let me tell you something. You, listen to me, you can be healed physically. Let me tell you, you can be touched physically. You can be recovered physically. But if you are never touched, healed, or delivered spiritually by faith through grace, are you saved? Amen. You see, we take out the critical ingredient. What is the critical ingredient? Faith. Amen. Listen, the Greek word for faith is the word pistis, which means a conviction of the truth. Amen. So until we have faith commingled with our belief, friends, listen, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 Peter 1, verse number 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by faith unto the power of God. It is faith that seals us and keeps us. Friends, listen to me this morning. And he said unto him, I want you to understand the greatest importance and significance of this. So many people, I believe in their lives, I believe this, honestly, and I'm not trying to confuse you or deter you, but listen, and you've heard me say this before, if I can talk you out of being saved, then you never had it to begin with. Amen. I believe that. If I can talk you out of your sad testimony, then your testimony is absolutely worthless, because what I have is non-negotiable. Amen. Friends, listen. And so now, listen, the Bible says that, listen, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That word whole is the Greek word sozo. The word salvation in the New Testament is the Greek word sotira. The word sozo and sotira are simultaneous words, one's being a noun and one being a verb. Amen. Listen, I ain't smart, I can just read. Amen. But listen, the significance of this is it is a salvation experience through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, listen to me. You cannot and you will not be saved because you are healed, but you will be if you are healed and you recognize the healing and have faith not in the healing, but if you have faith in the healer. Amen. We get so confused today, and we're so thankful for the blessings, and we're thankful for the healing, but are we thankful for the blesser, and are we thankful for the one who gives and sustains and keeps all things? Where's our focus? Where's our faith? Listen to me. Our faith needs to be in the healer, not in the healing. We, somewhere down the lines, listen, in this modernized church world that we live in society that we have grown up in, listen, we are more focused on the healing. We're more focused on the blessing. And these are all fruits of Him who blesses and Him who heals. But our thankfulness and our regards and our faith needs to be in the healer, not in the healing. Amen. So many of these, listen, they were 9 men that went away that day. And they had faith in the healing, but they did not have faith in the healer. Because if they had faith in the healer, they would have turned as the one man did and went back to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and recognized Him, glorified Him for who He is, for who He was, and for who He will be. I'm going to finish this up, verse 20 and 21. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And Jesus first spoke these two verses right here, which have great eschatological significance in the New Testament and the Old alike. But friends, listen to me. He spoke these things here in this one place because it's the first time we see the Bible refers to the Samaritan as a stranger. Because listen, first off, there was two things that was going against him. He was not a Jew. He was a stranger and he was a leper. Amen. Listen, according to the Old Testament covenant, they exiled him from the kingdom of God. But because of his gratitude, not in the healing, but because of his gratitude and faith in the healer, when he returned to the Lord Jesus Christ, here we say the greatest declaration of the New Testament. Listen, we have so many in society today, especially in the church, they are looking for things that can be touched and grabbed and felt and things we can see, and we look on the television and we're waiting for this and we're grasping for that. But I'm here to tell you the Lord Jesus has already said it. Quit looking and quit grasping. It is here now. So many people, they are looking for, listen, they take the word of God and they say it's all yet to happen. And nothing is yet. Let me tell you something. If it's all yet to happen, if it has no significance to me, I'd just quit today and never read it again. Amen. Amen, preacher. I'm going to amen myself. I'm fixing to let y'all go eat. But I'm telling you something, friends, today, listen. We have to understand that our faith, our faith is not in stuff, in things that can be held. Listen, the Bible tells us the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Amen. Jesus said in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, listen, he said, lay you not up treasures on earth where thieves can break through and steal and moth and rust doth corrupt. He said, but lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. Amen. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. And where my treasure is, there is my heart. And if my heart, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, has then showed its gratitude for the grace and the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, then now we have the third person, the indwelling, the felt presence of the Holy Ghost of God, which lives, rules, and reigns and abides in every saved, born again believer. And with the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, we now have the kingdom of God among men, the gospel church. Amen. Look around you. Let me tell you something, church. Quit. So many people miss so many of the riches of the Word of God, just like these nine lepers did, because they are so focused on the things that are yet to come and they're in the future, but we never stop to realize the things that are now. Amen. He's made everything a realized presence. Amen. I'm glad his kingdom lives within me. I'm glad the Bible tells me in Revelation chapter 1 that he has made us kings and priests unto God, that we shall reign with him. And I presently am and presently will be. And when this body shall perish, I will continue. Amen. Listen to me. When I face the grave again, I'm not dying. Amen. Listen. I died to the love and practice of sin as an 8-year-old boy. I don't expect to face death again. Amen. Listen. Twice born and once dead. Friends, listen to me. I was raised in newness of life. Amen. In power and forgiveness and sanctity. Friends, listen to me. And most of all, in justification. He has glorified us and he expects us to live as such. Amen. Enjoy what God has given. The Bible said this, and I'll close with this. Y'all come on with the song. He said, whatsoever is bound on the earth shall be bound in heaven, but whatsoever is loosed on the earth shall also be loosed in heaven. Church, today I want you to realize and understand that if you want to sit here in the church house and play lockjaw and stiff arm, amen. Hey, listen, I love you with all tenderness in my heart this morning, but I'm not going to sit up here and stroke your ego and tell you how good you are. Amen. Because the Word of God tells me included, that if we were where we were supposed to be, then sinners cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. So if the church is so righteous, why do we have lost folks that can come in and go out and come in and go out and come in and go out on a continual basis, Sunday after Sunday? Friends, let me tell you, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. Amen. The truth hurts, but it's the truth, and this includes me. Are we willing to take the steps necessary? Are you willing to stand to your feet this morning, just like the other 9 lepers, and go your way? And go your way. And never praise the Lord for His blessings, for His healing, and most of all, for making you whole. How many people this morning will, and I'm not just talking about Silver City, but I'm talking about the churches as a whole. How many people will leave the Lord's house this morning? How many people will give reverence to God today and thank Him for who He is, what He is, and what He's done? That's all He wants from us. You know, when the Bible says, you know, He wants to have conversation and friendship with us. Amen. Do you understand what, listen, the omnipotent, omnipresent, and omnipotent God that we serve, that created all the heavens, the universe, the land, the stars, the seas, the trees, the animals, everything that exists. Do you understand He wants to be a friend to us? Amen. He wants to enjoy conversation with us. He wants to know our problems. Amen. He wants to care for us. He wants to love us. He wants to cry with us when we're hurting and when we're broken. He cried with Lazarus at the tomb. Amen. He spoke words of sympathy to His mother at the cross. And He spoke words of joy to Mary Magdalene as He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He wants to share these with us. He spoke to Adam, because the Bible said in the cool of the evening, He used to walk with Adam. He was a friend. God wants us as a friend. When we recognize our salvation relationship, listen, we have a friend. We have a friend in Jesus. An elder brother who loves us, who looks over our faults through our failures and through our iniquities. The Bible tells us, amen. Listen, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said in 1 John 2:1, I write these things unto you, little children, that ye sin not. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He loves you. He wants to be your friend. Oh, but listen, if we ever realize and understand in our Christian relationship and in our salvation experience, if we understand that not only is He a friend to us, but we can be a friend to Him. Amen. Listen, I'm glad that I have one. The Bible said He'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. He'd go with us always, even unto the end of the world. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. In John 1:14, He said, and behold, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 10, He said, I and the Father are one. He said in John 14, it's expedient that I go away. But if I go not away, I will not leave you comfortless. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost come down out of heaven and indwelled in every born again believer. Don't tell me He don't love you. Didn't have to do any of it. But He wants to be your friend. Adam, Adam, where art thou? Ain't you glad? I'm going to close with this. Ain't you glad? Even in our most despicable times in our lives, when we sin, we know we've sinned, and we've tried to cover our sin, even in our lowest state and place, ain't you glad He comes looking for us? That is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Stand to your feet.